Understood is a resource I have recommended for many years to parents looking for support with learning and thinking differences such as ADHD, dyslexia, and more. And I'm subsequently excited to tell you about their podcast, Understood Explains. This season, the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Urtube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs. They cover topics such as how to tell if your child needs an IEP, common myths about special education, and the difference between IEPs and 504 plans. I love how Understood Explains breaks down the overwhelm by unpacking an important topic each season and then drilling down further into key basics in each episode. Most episodes are between 10 to 15 minutes, and episodes are available in both English and Spanish. So fantastic, right? To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains wherever you get your podcasts. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Edit Your Life. I'm Christine Coe.
And I'm Asha Dornfest, and we're here to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome.
Today's topic is questioning the KonMari decluttering method.
Yes, the KonMari method. This is the so-called, not so-called. It's called the KonMari method because it's detailed in Marie Kondo's very big blockbuster book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. So I read this book when, I think over the summer, and I immediately knew that we had to devote an episode to it because, first of all, it covers so much of what Christine and I talk about, but also this book has just taken the world by storm. So basically, it details the author's philosophy about organizing and decluttering, and it gives step-by-step instructions for how to declutter one's home. The author, whose name is Marie Kondo, she's from Japan. She calls her steps the KonMari method, and she promises it will totally change your life if you follow it. And I mean, thousands of people must agree with her because the book is just a massive hit. And in fact, Time magazine named her one of the 100 most influential people of 2015. Isn't that incredible?
That's incredible. That's really crazy. I will say, we were just talking before we started recording that when I initially put out an ask about this topic, there are still people who had no idea what I was talking about. So
yeah,
that's why, right. I'm glad we're talking about this today.
I'm glad too, because, you know, I have to admit, when someone basically writes a book and says, this is, you follow my steps and it will change your life, I'm immediately suspect, mm-hmm. and sort of wary, because, you know, I feel like sort of taking expert advice, hook, line, and sinker, has really burned me in the past. And it's taken me a long time to wean myself away from, you know, blindly following that advice. So I was not going to just fall in line and, this is so great, because I really wanted to see what it was about. So I don't know. I read it, and even though I resisted certain parts of it, I was also very intrigued by some of her points. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So I'm excited to talk with you about it.
Yeah. You know, I will say that I tend, maybe because I'm a little stubborn, I tend to resist if there's like a mega trend like this. I totally am like, I'm not going to jump on that bandwagon, but I'm going to be plain and just say right out the gate that, and I'm going to say something that I can probably only say because I'm Asian, but my initial reaction to the book was not super favorable. I felt like the perspective was just so rigid and prescriptive and strange. And you know us, I mean, we really don't want to be prescriptive. We, you know, believe everybody's journey is their own. There were nuggets that I did agree with, but then there were things that I didn't agree with. And I'm not kidding. I kind of wonder whether my reaction was not wanting to be bossed around by another hard-headed Asian person. I mean, I've had plenty of that in my life, including myself.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, you know, my perspective, well, we'll get into all the details, but it's funny. This is both a pro and not a con. I was really fascinated by the author herself. Now, the method, you know, the method is a method, and everyone has their own method. So that was interesting. But what I found to be fascinating was how the author herself, she has such a deeply unusual connection to the objects in her home. And she wrote about that. I mean, this is a person who speaks to her socks and thanks them for giving her service. And this is an unusual thing to do. But on the other hand, it was also like a perfect example of somebody finding what works for them and integrating it into their life. So I actually was sort of moved by that. Mm-hmm. I mean, her method profoundly works for her. I didn't appreciate the fact that she said this method is the only method, but I did appreciate the fact that, you know, this was very deeply individual. And I found that interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, the mixed feelings are not just reflective of our two data points, Asha. when I asked about the KonMari method on my Facebook page, there were a lot of responses and they were all over the map, including, as I said, people who were like, what are you talking about? So I just wanted to read a few quotes to just reflect that because it was so fascinating to see all this come in. So here we go. One comment was, OMG, just read it, just did 3/4 of our home, for real, life changing. Another was, that I found very fascinating was, it's not the keep what you love that is life changing. It's essentially the William Morris quote, have nothing in your house that you do not know to be useful or believe to be beautiful. It's the way she says it that gets you going. She's a lovely little dictator, that Marie Kondo. Another quote was, at first I thought she was seriously crazy, and then I saw her vulnerability and her deep compassion for other people. Now I merely think she's a bit kooky and totally onto something great. Another was, I never made it past the bedroom, but it has helped me get so many things under control and lose the attachment to so many objects. I don't follow her exact methodology. I prefer room by room, even though she recommends against it, but it also has influenced my purchasing behavior. I'm always asking myself if something sparks joy and it's easier for me to let go of it if it doesn't. Another one is, I'm halfway through the process and I have to say I'm totally hooked. I love the folding and how my shirts are like files in a drawer, and I thought I knew what I had, but in actuality, there was a lot of stuff hiding in my closet. But don't take my word for it. Ask my 5-year-old. He was so excited that he could open his drawer and just find what he wanted. And then the last one, which is probably most representative of all the responses, was, it sort of worked for me, kind of, not really. So as you can see, all over the map.
Yeah, all over the map. But I mean, I guess what jumps out to me is just that people are definitely happier with less stuff and stuff that's, you know, stuff that's not overwhelming them, and that this is a deeply emotional process. And so I don't know, the whole notion of editing your life, it really is powerful. And anyway, let's get into it. I really want to talk about Marie Kondo's method a little bit more. And again, sort of what we responded to and what we didn't like so much.
Yes, yes. And just quickly before we jump into that, I just wanted to make a little ask, a little housekeeping, to invite you, sweet listeners, that if you haven't already, to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss any new episodes. We publish, if you haven't notice the pattern, we publish every Thursday. All you need to do is launch your favorite podcast app and search for Edit Your Life Show, and then, or just Edit Your Life if you'd like to type less, and then click subscribe. It's super easy. Okay, so let's get going, Asha.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Do you struggle with boundaries and the general complexities of peopling? Relationships are necessary to our well-being, and some relationships are just, well, complicated. A good chunk of the work I have done in therapy centers on relationships, how to own my part of the story, how to let go of relationships that are toxic, and how to navigate challenging relationships in a way that doesn't drain me. And all of this work helps me show up better for myself and also as a partner, mom, friend, family member, and business owner. If you're thinking of starting therapy, check out BetterHelp. This online therapy platform was designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/edit today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/edit. As you know, I am all about micro improvements, and if you'd like to dedicate a little time each day to learn a language, I have a great solution for you. Babbel is a science-backed language learning app that offers 10-minute language lessons designed to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Materials are rooted in real-life situations, so you can learn important basics such as ordering food and asking for directions. Babbel offers personalized learning content, real-time feedback, tracking, and visualizations. And their speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent. No matter what level you are looking for, casual, intense, or something in between, you can enjoy app lessons, podcasts, and live classes from the comfort of your home on your schedule. Here's a special limited-time deal for Edit Your Life listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription. This is only for Edit Your Life listeners at babbel.com/edit. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/edit. That's spelled babbel.com/edit. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, sounds good. So the first part of the book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, is called Why Can't I Keep My House in Order? Now, this is a question I've often asked myself. So anyway, in this section, this beginning, this is really all about context. And she sets the stage for her method, and she makes some really big promises about how it's going to change your life. And so immediately I was like, but okay, I'm going to, you know, open my mind and listen. What I did find interesting was she was in this section, she pushes back against many of the accepted givens about decluttering, such as you should find the decluttering method that works for you. She doesn't agree. You should do a little at a time. Absolutely not, according to Marie. And she also is not okay with progress, not perfection. She actually says perfection is what you should aim for. So we'll get into that. I mean, basically, at first blush, her approach is the exact opposite of ours.
Yeah, and I guess maybe that's why my initial reaction wasn't so favorable. I think it just seemed awfully ironic that she says, quote, follow your intuition and all will be well. But this is a very rigorously prescriptive method.
Yeah, no, that's very true. I mean, I completely resisted her mine is the right way language. But on the other hand, I also appreciated that she was offering a very clear cut path to follow. Mm-hmm. I think so many people, you know, have responded to that because they just can't get past the overwhelm and they need someone to grab their hand and sort of lead them through, at least through that initial phase. When you're sort of staring at all your stuff going, I don't even know where to begin.
You know, agreed. I mean, when we were talking offline about this episode, you had mentioned the idea to me about people really needing those hard and fast directives. And so then it was funny to receive that comment I mentioned earlier about the effectiveness of the dictator approach, you know?
I know. Lovely little dictator. I actually really did love that quote because I do remember feeling that way. I mean, there was something strangely comforting about somebody saying, you know, you think you know how to declutter, but you don't. Let me just tell you what to do. And it was just sort of like, ah, oh, okay, I'll just give her the responsibility. Mm-hmm. It did feel good. I'm not sure if it felt good just though, like as an initial little moment, or if it felt good deeply, because I was too busy resisting. But anyway, I did keep reading. So, I think The other thing I actually really have a problem with is her insistence on decluttering everything all at once and doing it perfectly. I mean, she actually says the words aim for perfection. And I just don't think that's realistic for working families. I also think it's a setup for failure. I mean, I appreciate the importance of commitment and focus. I mean, it's not like, you know, it's so easy to get sidetracked when you're decluttering. I think I'm famous for this, you know, like, oh, look at this photo. And oh, yeah, remember this trip that we, you know, but I just think there needs to be some flexibility. Mm-hmm. I really do. So important.
I know. Can we talk? Look, I need to talk a bit more about that quote and just kind of vent for a second. So regarding the approach of don't aim for perfection or start off slowly and discard just one item each day.
Yeah.
She says, what lovely words to ease the hearts of those who lack the confidence in their ability to tidy. And I actually got kind of angry when I read that. I mean, is it just me? I mean, we all have our own things that we'll bring to this. But for me, the journey of letting go of perfection was huge, and it has improved my life enormously.
Well, and I think the other thing is part of why I lacked confidence in many areas of my life was because I completely let go of listening to my own inner voice, and I just sort of laid it all at the feet of experts. And now that you reread that quote, it sort of bugs me too. Like, it makes me, I think it's misleading and I think it's condescending. And I actually think it might even be a little damaging.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, she clearly just doesn't have the same perspective on that we do. And so I wouldn't go there, but yeah, no, you're right. That's not cool.
But you know, the thing we do talk about that we agree with her on is, you know, later she, in the intro, she says a quote like, oh, I have it written down here. People cannot change their habits without first changing their way of thinking. And, you know, that's one huge thing about our book and our podcast is we try to approach both the big picture thinking, you know, that will facilitate lasting change as well as the practical tactics to get there.
So, yes, indeed. And I think another one of the quotes that you read that talked about how she revealed her vulnerability and her sort of deep compassion. I actually did feel that later in the book, too. And she really does. It's not just about her method for how to, you know, systematically go through your stuff. It's how to think about things and how to think about your life in relation to things.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciated that. So, you know, I'm willing to sort of give her a pass on some of her, you know, some of her language around this. Maybe, who knows, some of it might be a translation issue. This was originally a book in Japanese.
Yes.
You know, but her notion that one needs to change one's thinking and orient it toward yourself as opposed to your stuff, that completely resonates for, mm-hmm. for me. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's get to the tactics. So listeners, we're moving through kind of the parts of the book. It's split mm-hmm. into five, I think. So that's all the intro set up. So Asha, why don't you kick us off on part two?
All right. Sounds good. So, while we weren't totally convinced about the book setup, the tactics, actually, I think things got a lot more interesting. Part two is called Finish Discarding First. And the basic idea is don't organize your clutter. Get rid of the clutter and then organize what's left. And I'm totally on board with that.
Agreed. Agreed about discarding ruthlessly. I mean, you've talked for a long time about the declutter first, then organize. And, you know, Kondo talks about how putting things away creates the illusion that the clutter problem has been solved.
Mm-hmm.
Although I do think there's some middle ground. So for example, I believe in storing things. I really like having things in closets or behind doors. But what I'm working on is only storing things in a way so I can actually see everything in there. It's not like, you know, the problem I think is the jamming crap into the closet where it's layers and layers of crap so you can't see what's there.
Yeah.
So I do. I'm a huge fan. And actually, yesterday, I could not believe it. I didn't tweet it or anything. But I was home with Vi and she's 4 years old. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, she said, "Mom, can you help me clean out my cabinet?"
Oh, man.
And I seriously, this is a kid who really likes to hold on to stuff. I mean, she's four. Like, that's what 4 year olds do. But I said, OK, I'm going to get a trash bag and a recycling bag and then we'll just get rid of stuff. And she was ruthless. She did not. That's actually one difference between her and Laurel. Like Laurel's very sentimental and Vi's not. So she had no problem getting rid of stuff. And now her cabinet with all her craft stuff and everything, she can actually see everything in there.
Isn't that amazing?
It's incredible.
Oh, I wonder. I would love to know what the thought process of this particular 4 year old, Vi. What her thought process was.
Well, she was looking for something specific, and I think she was really frustrated that she could not even see anything in there. So,
Well, you know, it's really funny. The other big point of part two of the book is how to identify clutter. How do you know if it's clutter?
Mm.
If you're holding this thing in your hand, and according to Marie Kondo, it's by answering the question, does this spark joy?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a huge theme running through all of our work. The podcast, Minimalist Parenting. That's the whole point, really. Does this object spark joy? Or is it useful? I mean, I'm not saying your vacuum cleaner is going to spark joy, right? But you probably need to have a vacuum cleaner. So I think in this case, joy is, you know, joy, but it's also what's truly useful to you. And fist bump to Marie for this gem.
Oh, totally. The sparking joy. I think that's something that people has been very useful to people, especially when they're acquiring new stuff. You know, do I really need this is a bad example. I was going to say, do I really need another minimalist gold necklace? So that's not a good example for me since I just ordered some, but
but they spark joy.
But they do spark. They do spark joy. But I think it is looping back to that William Morris quote about things that are useful or beautiful. And in our book, we talk about the litmus test being the would I replace it if I lost my house in a fire kind of thing.
Right.
So I wanted to mention that because the useful side, because a friend pointed me to an article, which we'll link up in the show notes, that shared an experience of getting rid of everything in her closet that didn't bring her joy. And quite literally, she was left with nothing because she didn't spare the basics. And then she was miserable because she literally had like no underwear to wear.
No.
Not everybody has a joyful relationship with their socks, apparently. So,
Well, I feel joyful when I wear underwear.
I do feel I appreciate underwear, too. I'm a fan.
Oh, no. Oh, boy. Well, yeah, I mean, I do think that's the crux of the point here is that, you know, what's valuable to you is not necessarily what's valuable to me. And, you know, to give Marie Kondo some credit, I do think that's what she was talking about when she was saying to follow your intuition. Mm-hmm. She was saying that, you know, your decisions about what creates joy and what's useful are going to be different than mine. And so I think in that way, that's where she's encouraging people to get in touch with themselves.
Yes. Good point. So, good point.
Yeah. Okay, Marie, we'll give you that one.
it's like a boxing match. Okay. Round one, round two.
No,
I'm kidding. You know me. I'm kidding.
I know. And you know, the thing is like, we don't mean to disrespect her. I think she's really said something, but I think it also is, it's important to push back when some, you know, on these sort of expert missives, it's, mm-hmm. it's good to be sort of positively critical.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's like the scientific method. You have to evaluate all the angles, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. A review by the peers.
Exactly.
All right. So, shall we move on to part three of the book?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Part three is called Tidying by Category Works Like Magic. And her method involves completely organizing each category of item in your home or life before moving on. And the categories are like this. You start with your clothes. You move on to your books and then papers and then miscellaneous, mm-hmm. which I actually found sort of funny, but it sort of made sense when you read the book. And miscellaneous, by the way, includes sentimental items, which she says leave for last, which I thought was actually good advice.
Yeah, they do hang you up in your process.
Yes, indeed. And you sort of, it's almost like you need the momentum and confidence from earlier, easier organizing and discarding to sort of tackle those sentimental items.
Yeah. So I kind of have, I think this is fine. For me, this is not really an issue because I don't have, like, I actually, you know me, I like clothes, but I'm pretty minimal with my stuff. So I don't have stuff in storage. I just have what's in my closet and that's what I have. So it's not like I have clothes and books and lots of things in different locations. So for me, this, you know, wasn't a big deal, but I personally like the satisfaction of knocking off by location. So mm-hmm. I guess I'm kind of mixed on it.
Yeah. It actually worked for me. The idea worked for me. It's not like I've gone through the entire method myself, but the tidying by category made sense. Not because I have clothes all over the house, because I seriously don't, but my mind just tends to work better when I stick to a category. Mm-hmm. Like if I sort of have clothes in my head, you know, my clothes, my kids' clothes, you know, and all of that kind of stuff, I can really stay focused. But if I'm in my room and I'm, you know, decluttering my clothes, but then I find a purse in my closet, and then I open the purse and there's some old things in the purse and I dump out the purse, I'm just like immediately distracted. And then I just get off track. So I actually find that to be pretty useful. I will say she had this rule for sorting papers, and I might have cheered because her sorting papers rule of thumb is discard everything.
Oh my gosh, I'm like, so into that. I totally want, I'm going to over the, I I'm going to have a paper discarding party very soon.
I think we need to have an entire episode about paper management. Don't you think?
I would love that. I would actually love that because, you know, just last night I was asking John, we were playing upstairs in the playroom with the kids, and that's part of the area up there has become our like storage of credit card receipts and all this like crap that I'm kind of like, can I just put that through the shredder? Like,
yeah.
Why do we have this?
And yet paper is so scary. At least it is for me. Okay. We'll
get there.
We'll discuss this sometime. Okay. So, all right. Tidying by category, you know, like we're on both sides of the mm-hmm. coin there, part four, it was pretty straightforward. Part four of the book is called Storing Things to Make Your Life Shine. It was really, you know, pretty basic stuff. She gave tons of practical tips mm-hmm. on how to store your stuff. And much of it actually, you know, sort of went in the direction of what you just experienced, where, you know, when you can see all your stuff, it is like transformative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Not overdoing it on the storage items. And I thought it was really cute how into her shoeboxes she is.
Oh, yeah.
There's like a lot of airtime devoted to like shoebox organization as an organizational tool. It was cute. So I'm good with that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny, storage containers. You know, I think everyone's had a field day at, you know, either the dollar store or the container store, however much you decide you want to spend on containers. And it really is, it's a trap because you buy containers and think, oh, this is going to make me organized. But actually, you have to organize before you buy the containers. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And frankly, you don't have to buy any containers at all. Because, mm-hmm. yeah, shoeboxes. So I think, yeah, I don't even think we need to talk about that very much because pretty straightforward stuff.
People often talk about the impact of things like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrition on skin. But did you know those things impact your hair too? If you've been dealing with hair thinning, you are not alone, and Nutrafol is here to help. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding. I appreciate that they offer formulas tailored to different life stages, such as postpartum and menopause, as well as different lifestyles, such as plant-based diets. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol Women's Hair Growth Supplement for 6 months. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering Edit Your Life listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code EDIT. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. That's Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, and use promo code EDIT. That's Nutrafol.com using promo code EDIT. Did you know that hyaluronic acid naturally occurs in our skin but decreases gradually as we age, leading to thinner, drier skin? If you're looking for support hydrating your skin from the inside out, check out one of the tools in my hydration arsenal, Rituals Hyacera, which I take every morning. Rituals products are tested and validated by a third party for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals, and Hyacera is clinically proven to reduce fine lines and increase skin smoothness in 90 days. They also engage in industry-leading sustainability standards and are a female-founded B Corp, which means they hold themselves accountable to not just their company's financial health, but also the health of people and our planet. Want to join me in hydrating from the inside out? Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/edit. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/edit for 25% off.
So part five, very interesting. This
is the concluding section, right?
The concluding section. This is the life-changing part. The magic of tidying dramatically transforms your life is the title of this part. I love this section because she was really talking about the effects of what happens in your life after your home is tidy and you're maintaining this tidiness. She talked about, you know, just how, you know, you feel sort of less anxious and freer and more open. But then she even went as far as talking about how, you know, you might lose weight, you know, body clutter, mm-hmm. you might become more wealthy. And this really felt far-fetched to me. I mean, she actually made some decent points, but it really was sort of like, you know, I don't think decluttering is the answer to every single thing in your life. And I don't know. I mean, I can really attest to increased confidence and lowered anxiety, but I don't know.
I'm going to still eat cookies and brownies, even if my house is not cluttered. Let's be honest.
They spark joy.
They do. Oh, man. They, you know, the making of them sparks joy and the eating of them sparks joy.
Well, you know, and I just, well, anyway, I want to hear, what did you think about this section?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, the one quote that stood out for me in this section was, she says, quote, letting go is even more important than adding, end quote. And she's talking quite literally about letting go of clutter, I think. But what it made me think of was the wrestling with abundance concept we talk about in minimalist parenting. So, yeah. You know, life right now, just it's really all about letting go, whether it's when we're talking about it anyway, whether it's physical tethers or emotional tethers, you know, and letting go of that stuff so you can enjoy what's in front of you. So mm-hmm. I was kind of just envisioning that quote in the way that I like to think of it with you. And to me, that really makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's actually quite profound. And I agree with you. I agree with you. It's empowering, and it's also, it sort of gives you some measure of humility too, strangely. So she concludes the book with, I don't know if she actually concludes it with this quote, but it was sort of this point: your real life begins after you put your house in order. I might agree with that in a metaphorical sense, but in a literal sense, I totally disagree. I feel like your life is happening whether your house is cluttered or not. I mean, honestly, your life is happening during this process, and it has value and beauty no matter how messy your house is. I mean, honestly, it's not like a decluttered and organized house is somehow, you know, Eden or a panacea for happiness and perfection. I do believe that simplifying and decluttering correlate with happiness. Christine and I wouldn't be doing this podcast if we didn't believe that, mm-hmm. but I don't think it's either or.
I agree. And actually, I have a question for you because I'm not really remembering it. And I don't know if you remember it, but does she address in the book at all, like rebound factor? Because I remember in the beginning of the book, she talked about something about how like the rate of acquisition. And I think she was referring to herself personally that, you know, she could acquire things at a faster rate than she could get rid of things, or some of her mm-hmm. clients experiencing mm-hmm. that. So what I didn't, and maybe perhaps I should have probed further with the people who responded to my Facebook ask, but I'm curious about the rebound factor. Like, when you do this method, and maybe listeners, you can email us and let us know and, you know, tell us what worked for you. But after you do this mega purge, then what happens with your acquisition? I mean, maybe you're evaluating things more with the Spark Joy litmus test, or then maybe you find yourself filling up the empty space. I don't know. Did she address this at all directly?
She did address this. I mean, I think she just addressed this from the perspective, excuse me, of, well, you know, now your mind is different and now you know what sparks joy and you're not going to do that anymore. Mm. And I think she might have even addressed this, but only briefly, you know, what to do when you're doing this in a family system. Let's just remember that probably not everybody in your family will have read The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. And for example, what if your spouse doesn't have the same approach mm-hmm. to decluttering that you do? I know that for Rail and me, he's actually the declutter king, and I'm the one who has the piles of stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm actually looking at my desk right now at the various piles of things around my microphone. And I'm not saying it's great, but we have different styles, and I think you have to respect that. And, you know, sort of like going top to bottom through your house without conferring with the people who live in the house, I think that's tricky.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think you have to confer with your kids, but I do think that, you know, including them in the process is it's super important. I mean, you just talked about that with Vi. She has, you've included her. And so that's why she's learning herself.
Well, and I will say that, normally, I would say a few years ago, maybe because I was wrestling with Laurel's sentimental nature around getting rid of stuff, I might have recommended at one point, like, yeah, just do it while they're not home. But now I really feel like the experience with Vi was very helpful because she was actually looking for a specific thing, a Frozen bracelet, and we found it. And had it just been me, I would have thrown that thing away and didn't realize that, and maybe not thrown a bunch of the other stuff away that she said was, you know, she didn't care about anymore, didn't need or didn't work. And on the flip side of that, what I did end up working through with Laurel was helping her become more sort of, you know, philanthropically minded. Like we used the stuffed animals and the toy, you know, toys and things like that as a way to give forward to others. And that was a really good lesson for her. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think you are right. It's a family system, as so many things are. And I think you have to be okay with the fact that some of your family may not be on board. You have to just deal with your stuff first.
Totally. So again, totally metaphorical. You have to deal with your stuff first.
Deal with your issues, man.
Yeah, totally. And I totally have to respond to something you just said. I know we're at the end of our podcast, but I still have to respond. I have so much I want to talk to you about.
Yeah.
When you said you would have thrown away that bracelet had you come across it yourself because you didn't realize how much it meant to Vi. Mm-hmm. This has been huge in our family. And so it's my kids find certain things valuable. They have internal lives. They sit in their room and they play with their stuff or they mm-hmm. look at their stuff. I'm not there. I don't know what they're doing. So mm-hmm. how do I know what matters to them and what doesn't? When I just go in and sort of wholesale get rid of what looks like trash to me, I seriously might be getting rid of a treasure.
And oh, so yeah.
it's very delicate. And I think it's disrespectful, you know, yeah. at least in my family. I mean, I'm only speaking personally here. I know that my kids have felt disrespected and even, you know, really sort of wounded when we not only threw their stuff away, but said, boy, that stuff's crap. Why do you even want to hang on to it?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Like, that doesn't work.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. It is disrespectful. And I'm actually just, I'm almost embarrassed to admit this, but I'm going to do it because, hey, that's what this is all about, right? It's us living and breathing this together with people. So in a fit of decluttering, this was like within the last year, like I was going bonkers. I went bonkers upstairs in the loft and decluttered a bunch of John's stuff, which it is now I'm thinking, man, if somebody went through my office and just threw a bunch of my stuff away, I'd be pissed, right? But I actually, he was up there and looking in the trash and he's like, why is this cloth in the trash? And I was like, oh, I thought that was junk. And it was a gift somebody had given him and it had like kind of a sacred meaning to it.
Oh no.
And I was mortified. And I'm like, okay, never again. I'm never again touching your stuff because I just threw away like a sacred something or other. Like I felt horrible.
Right, right. At least you had the wherewithal to sort of be horrified and realize. I might not have made that realization with some of my husband's stuff some number of years ago. We still talk about it.
The sacred socks. Are they getting you down? I'm not even
going to go into detail because it will seriously like mess with certain people's privacy if I do. But
yeah.
It's really important. So anyway. That's so fascinating. Oh my gosh. I really love talking with you about Marie Kondo's book.
This is fascinating.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
So, listeners, if you're interested in, I was just going to tell people about her book, but we should talk about your next edit before we do that.
Go for it. Okay. Asha, what's your next edit?
My next edit. It's all about the sparking joy. So I would say find one item in your house that sparks joy, whatever that means to you, and either use it, like take it out of the closet or the cabinet or whatever you're storing it for, use it, or put it in a place where you can see it. Mm-hmm. It's my next edit.
Good.
And yours?
And mine is, though it is against the Kondo grain, I'd like to challenge you to declutter one contained high traffic area. So like tackle that dreaded kitchen junk drawer, for example, and feel that effect. I just did this recently and it has been fantastic. I can actually find the pens when I need the pens. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, it has brought me joy. Just that little tweak.
I sometimes think we keep kitchen junk drawers just so we can organize them and feel good about ourselves.
Yeah.
Because it's a great feeling. So fabulous. So listeners, again, we've been talking about Marie Kondo's book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. We include the link to that book in our show notes for this episode.
Yes, and don't forget to subscribe to our podcast so you'll never miss an episode. Just go into your favorite podcast app and search for Edit Your Life and hit subscribe.
Oh, hey, everybody.
It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory. Two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck.
And this is our new podcast, Unsticking It with Blair and Molly. What happens when your creative spark just seems to disappear?
Gone.
Poof.
Bye.
See ya. What happens when life gets in the way of your creativity instead of nourishing it? That's what happened to Molly and me. We felt like the thing that drove us creatively stopped working and impending doom had in fact impended.
Totally. So we decided to do something about it. And that was steal ideas about getting unstuck from the most creative people we can find. We talk to guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders. And we're not just talking Bob Ross type paint on paper artists here, though we talk to them too. We're talking to actors, creative directors, dancers, and people who are working hard to be their best creative selves in a world that can sometimes feel real uncreative.
We all have something to teach each other, so let's steal their ideas together.
Join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom. Pandemics, school calendars,
world events, lack of sleep. Oh, get out of their life gunk.
And let's get back to your best creative self. Subscribe to Unsticking It with Blair and Molly.
You're not going to want to miss an episode.
Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks. Unsticking It.